You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
The Wolves is a new American play, but it's not about feral animals, frat boys, or politicians. The Wolves are a teenage girls' competitive soccer team, and the story unfolds in overlapping conversations during pregame warm-ups. The playbill identifies characters only by number, but over the course of the performance, their brilliant, raunchy, shy, provocative, and complicated selves merge. Ben Brantley wrote in the New York Times, "Girl power is atomic in the Wolves. The scary, exhilarating brightness of the raw adolescence emanates from every scene." It's being produced at Playwrights Realm at the Duke Theater on 42nd Street until December 29th, and I'm very pleased that it has brought playwright Sarah DeLapp and number two, Sarah Mezzanotte, to our show. Welcome.
Thank you for having us.
I understand that although every performance has been sold out until the 29th, you've added two free matinees today for the 20th and 29th, and the tickets will be given away by lottery.
Yes, that's right, through the app TodayTix, I believe. Yes, the info's on the website.
So they just go to the app for?
Yes, I believe so. Yeah. I think so.
So download the app, and then you search the Wolves, and then they'll take it from there.
Now, Ben Brantley talked in his review about how uncannily assured this play is, but it's your first play.
It is my first play. How well, it's my first production.
First production. Oh, you'd written that, like so many people, there's
stuff
that you don't want anybody to see anymore.
Yeah.
How long did it take to write this?
I wrote the first draft about 2 years ago. I went to this exhibit at the New Museum the summer of 2014. That was a survey of contemporary art from the Middle East and North Africa called Here and Elsewhere. And I went to see it, and I was tremendously moved and felt viscerally affected by a lot of the art, much of which was political and dealing with the very real daily political realities of these artists. And I felt such a great distance from all of that. And I was wandering around the museum and listening in on other people's conversations and trying to formulate my own opinions on the Bowery with my cold brew coffee about drone bombings and civil war and all of these things. And for some reason, when I was on the train back to Brooklyn, I just started typing the conversation on my phone of the beginning conversation of the play.
Although this has nothing to do with the topic of that exhibit.
No, but
it
does
in the
have
spirit
to do,
of it?
It does have to do with being in a bubble. It has to do with a certain type of suburban upbringing that is very privileged and is a great remove from the things which they're discussing in the play, including at the beginning of the show, the Khmer Rouge.
Uh-huh. Aren't you the recipient, the first, I think, of the Relentless Award, which was created in honor of Philip Seymour Hoffman?
Yes, that's correct.
Now, there's always a problem when I have two guests with the same name, Sarah. So Sarah M, number two.
Yes.
How did you get involved in this production? Because this is not the first production of it, is it?
This is not, no. They started back at NYU when I was still in school, but was not affiliated with it in any way. I joke that that's like the other woman, and you hear about the other number two, and you're like, oh, was she funny? Was she smart? Was she better? No, but then I got an audition through my agent when you guys were putting it on. And I, you know, you get a lot of things to read when you're an actress, and there's a lot of material all the time. So sometimes, secret, don't be listening if you're my agents. Sometimes you'll kind of skim, but I opened The Wolves and within like three pages was completely hooked. And I was reading it in a Starbucks with my friend, and I turned and was like, I need this one. So it was weeks, you know, from that point to a first call, first audition, then a callback, then a second callback. And I just never stopped thinking about it.
And that's partly because of the structure of this play? Which I would imagine would excite an actor.
Yeah, and it's all
a conversation about the Khmer Rouge, tampons, Harry Potter, all at the same time.
And it's females, but it's not, quote, girly. You know, these are all real people.
But there are girls at that transitional phase where they're going from adolescence into womanhood.
Yeah.
Which is a has been pointed out is a time when even the more gregarious girls suddenly start worrying about whether they're being too gregarious.
Yeah.
Yes, I think there are a lot of different ways to be a 16-year-old woman. And there are a lot of different things that that looks like. And because this play showcases nine very different teenage women, I think we get to see where each of them is in their development.
Would you have liked to have had a name instead of just number two?
No, I don't. It was very fun for all of us to come up with our own names. And we didn't know that the other girls were doing it too. So all of a sudden one day someone let it slip that they had named themselves. And then we all turned around and we're like, you named yourself too. And so we all have these secret names that, you know, no one will ever know. And that's something very special and, you know, individual.
Were you thinking of the Bechdel test when you were writing some of this?
Oh, I feel like that is lodged in my brain always when I'm writing. Or it's also just, I think the Bechdel test is so effective because it makes you just think about the way that people actually talk. And in a play about nine women, of course, they're going to be talking about things other than men.
And the Bechdel test is how much of the conversation is not about men.
Yes, I believe it's having at least two characters who are women who have a conversation that isn't about men. Mm-hmm. I think that's also, it should be a pretty easy test.
Yeah, right, but surprisingly, not many do.
Although it's interesting that you've named this team the Wolves because there is a soccer team in Britain, a professional team called the Wolverhampton Wolves.
Oh.
And wolves are usually associated with males.
Oh.
Don't we? Wouldn't you? No?
I think there are wild women wolves out there.
Are teenage girls like wolves? They tend to travel in packs with or without a team?
Yeah, I think girls especially are socialized to form identities within a group and to test out and branch out and see if they can separate and then come back into the group. And I think a good deal of that happens within the play.
But do you think that the kind of rough and tumble back and forth among boys is accepted and even blessed, while with girls it's almost almost pathologized?
I mean, I think unfortunately that has been true, but I'd like to hope that that's changing. And it's been interesting to get feedback on this play from a number of different types of men. And some of the feedback I've gotten is they're so mean to each other. Or the first time I saw it, I thought that that play must have been written for a bunch of boys because they are so rough with each other and they use so many curse words. And there's no way that girls talk to each other like that. And I can promise you that's not true.
Yeah.
Well, we're not privy to those conversations. Males are not privy to them. Do competitive sports, all girls sports, give them an opportunity to show some of that ferocity?
Yeah. I mean, I think so. I mean, when I was writing this play, I was thinking at a certain point, I started thinking about it as a war movie and using that structure. But instead of seeing a bunch of 19-year-old men on a battlefield dealing with being part of a group and being an individual, we could deal with all of these 16-year-old girls on a soccer field dealing with much of the same issues. And every scene, you know, they're getting ready to play a soccer game as opposed to go into battle.
So is this play the equivalent of a female Braveheart?
Your words,
about to
not
go
mine.
Into battle?
Yeah, sure. You can say that. Why not?
We'll take it.
It's hard to imagine a war movie or a Western with characters designated as Cowboy Number 5.
Yeah, well, I think the numbers, I mean, each of the characters in this play are only identified by their team number. And I thought of that as a way to make it clear that we're just privy to only one part of their life. And in this part of their life, they're not defined as daughters or girlfriends or students or by, you know, the male gaze. This is the one place in their life where they're allowed to define themselves as athletes and as friends and as students and scholars and people who are trying very hard to figure out the world around them and their place in it.
We're talking about a play called The Wolves, which is currently at the Playwrights Realm at the Duke Theater on West 42nd Street with playwright Sarah Delap and actor Sarah Mezzanotte, who plays one of the team members. And we mentioned that there are all these different conversations are going on at the same time. The reviews have mentioned the films of Robert Altman as a possible influence. But what about it as for an actor? Is it an acting challenge to focus on your own conversation when there are so many others? Are you relying on cues for very different kinds of conversations to know where you should be?
It's definitely a challenge, but I think it is one of the greatest gifts for an actor to do a play like this, because you, yes, are constantly having to listen to other conversations that you're not actually partaking in. But then again, every night you are, you know, for 90 minutes in one place and centered, and you are focused so intently on what's happening, and you just have to trust each other. And the words really give us this opportunity to put so much underneath them. So we might be saying the same line over and over again, you know, twice a day, some days for a long time. But you look at someone who's become your close friend and you're saying something else, you know, with love underneath that line.
Would they be friends off the field?
Oh, so close. Yes. We joke that people are going to start getting really annoyed with us.
Would we even recognize them out of context in their regular classroom environment?
I see you're talking about the characters. I'm like, yeah, we're best friends. I don't know. I think that it is a very, very different space, this AstroTurf and this air dome. I don't know that you'd recognize them from what you do when they're on the field.
Mm-hmm. And I think part of it in the fictional world of the play is that they come together from different schools. One of the girls on the team is homeschooled to play this game together, mm-hmm, to play mm-hmm. soccer. So it is in, it's in a unique context.
It's also about women being empowered. You performed earlier this fall. Have any of the performances changed since the election?
I mean, I think the context in which they're being seen has changed drastically.
What about audience reactions?
I don't think that it's changed that much, to be honest. I think we had a lot of conversations after the election about if it should change or how it might change. But the consensus that I think Sarah and Lila came to was that it's more important than ever that it remain what it was, because it's about a group of girls that is a bubble, and that being popped is, you know, like a huge, huge thing for all of them. And so if all of these performances before were about like the joy and the youthfulness and the love and whatever, and then afterwards it is realizing that there's so much more that is symbolic of what the election has done, and so it kind of had to stay the same.
Yeah, I think part of what the play is doing is looking at carefully at a certain type of innocence and naivete, and that is also actually kind of a political, or could be a political act.
The printed play has an epigram from Gertrude Stein.
Yes.
We are always the same age inside.
Yeah.
Is that age adolescence? God forbid.
You know, it could be. I put that in at the top of a play just to suggest to potential people who are reading it or actors not to patronize or condescend to these characters, that just because they're 16-year-old girls, that doesn't mean that they're airheads or idiots, but that they're just as substantial as anybody.
Well, you've had a great success. I think a lot of soccer moms must be coming. Do you think that soccer moms are similar to actor moms? Stage moms?
Oh, interesting question. I mean, I think soccer moms, you know. There have been some soccer players who have come to our show. Mm-hmm, there have been some soccer moms who have come to our show.
Yes.
And I hope that they have enjoyed it and enjoyed our cast's tremendous soccer playing abilities.
Did you have to do a soccer tryout when you were auditioning?
I did. Most nerve-wracking 5 minutes of my life. You go into that room and you're doing all your acting, but you see the soccer balls there and it's waiting for you and you know that part's coming. But Lila, the director, had a lot of soccer experience. So in the audition, she was the one passing with us. And tried to make us very comfortable, and it wasn't too scary.
Yes.
Before you go, a reminder that every performance has been sold out until the closing on the 29th.
Mm-hmm.
And no extension?
No extension.
Because other things
it's
are coming into the theater.
Yeah, exactly.
But you've added two free matinees on the 28th and the 29th, and tickets will be given away by lottery. Again, how can people enter to win?
Go to the website, go to playwrightsrealm.com, and they will give you all of the info you need to know.
And it is the Wolves is currently at the Duke Theater, produced by Playwrights Realm. The Duke Theater is on West 42nd Street. Thank you both so much for being on our show.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having
us. I've been speaking with Sarah Delap, the playwright, and Sarah Mezzanotte, one of the stars of the Wolves.